If he were to walk in here right now and he'd come up here and he'd take over this pulpit and I would flee, believe me, I would get out of here. And would you be careful to listen to him? If he told you the way of salvation, would you be attentive to his words? If he told you the better way of to live and gave you counsel, say, about marriage, counsel about childbearing, counsel about relationships, about counsel about how to relate to parents, bosses, and government, would you hear him? Would you take his counsel? If he commanded you, would you obey? And unless I'm very mistaken, you would be especially careful to listen. Well, when you open your Bible, it is the voice of Jesus Christ. It is the Word of God, just as if He were here speaking. What a great treasure, then, that we have in the written Word of God. Because what we have here is nothing less than His very Word. It's all His Word. It is completely His Word. It could not be more the Word of God if He spoke it to us right now in person. That's what it is. This is the Word of God. Some years ago, many years, 1965 in fact, Paul Harvey, who gave those great speeches, thoughtful, introspective speeches, he gave the description of the devil. Where the devil wants us to think otherwise about the Word of God, or to treat it lightly. Listen to his words. I'm not reading the whole thing. I'm just pulling out the relevant things. Paul Harvey: "If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you, as I whispered to Eve, 'Did God say?' To the young," listen, young, "to the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. And in the churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science." Prescient. Well, the doctrine we are now discussing in the confession, in the Belgic Confession, Article 3, is the doctrine of the inspiration of Scripture. Now, we say inspiration, we do not mean by inspiration that one is motivated, okay? That is, that the authors, by inspiration, were inspired in the sense of being motivated to be creative and write scriptures, or that the Bible is inspirational to us. No, inspiration means that the Bible is the very Word of God, even as He used men, by the operation of His Spirit, to say exactly what He wanted to say. Now, I'll give you a definition. This is adapted from Charles Hodge. Some of it is a direct quote, and some I've just adjusted a little bit. This is what he says. "Inspiration was the influence of the Holy Spirit on the minds of men, select, certain, chosen men, which rendered them organs of God for the infallible communication of His mind. God used them and moved them in such a way that they said that what they said, God said." He used them and moved them in such a way that what they said, God said. So when the prophets spoke, they spoke the Word of God. When the apostles spoke, they spoke the Word of God. When the apostles wrote, they wrote the Word of God. When the prophets wrote, they wrote the Word of God. so that what we have in the Bible is the very Word of God, the very mind of God, and the very will of God. First of all, let me just say here, it is supernatural. Inspiration was supernatural. Inspiration was not a natural thing, not a super intelligent man. It was not philosophy. It was not the best of human wisdom. It was not the most enlightened men. That's not what inspiration is. Inspiration also was not the providential working of God. It was not, inspiration is not the not even the amazing grace of God that He sends to all His children, all believers, for salvation and sanctification. Inspiration was a supernatural working of God to speak His Word, teach His Word, communicate, or write down His Word. Galatians 1:1, Paul says this, right? Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Him from the dead. Galatians 1:11. But I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. God supernaturally intervened in moving men to speak and write exactly what God wanted them to, so that it comes out as His very word. And also, let me say this, we must not confuse it with spiritual illumination. It's not spiritual illumination. And spiritual illumination is something for all Christians. That is our ability to understand the Word. That's for all Christians. Inspiration was supernatural, and it was only for certain chosen persons, prophets and apostles. Illumination has the purpose to save and develop holiness or sanctification. The purpose of inspiration was to render these certain persons as infallible teachers and their words as infallible. So it was not natural, it was not providential agency, it was not saving or sanctifying grace, it's not spiritual illumination, it was supernatural. And so the Belgic Confession says, we confess that this word of God was not sent nor delivered by the will of man, but that holy men spoke of God, being moved by the Holy Spirit. 2 Peter, that's part of that is almost a quote from 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. What is important there to understand is that this supernatural operation, well, it's one, the very word of God, but two, it's not for all. It's not given to all. It was a spiritual gift to chosen men, holy men. When we say holy men, when we say holy men, we mean men set apart for that purpose. They were set apart holy to speak the Word of God. And these men were inspired men, and they were the organs of God. We might put it, they were the instruments. They were the instruments through which God's communicating. You pick up an instrument, you pick up a guitar, and you play its strings. The men were the piano, they were the keys. They were the stringed instruments. And more appropriate to that analogy, men were the mouth. Men were the pen of God. And yet when I say that, that doesn't mean mechanical dictation. That doesn't mean cold computers, that they were cold computers spitting out what is typed on the keyboard. Something more profound is going on. But what these inspired men said, God said. What they taught, God taught. What they wrote, God wrote. But He did it in such a marvelous way to use their personalities. He used their history. He used their skills. He used their vocabulary. He used their wills to communicate. They weren't unconscious. They weren't involuntary subjects. The church has never held what has been called the mechanical theory of inspiration. as though the prophets and the apostles were only or merely secretaries dictating, or that they were like a recording device, recording and then you play back what God says. And it's not like they fell into a trance and the deity took over and spoke through them. And that's the movies, okay? That's those weird, not so scary, I think, movies. They just make me laugh. The men that God used were self-conscious. They knew, they were aware, they were awake, they knew that God was using them. And God used the powers of their learning, he used their understanding, he used their reason and their own communication. But the Holy Spirit moved in them, carried them along in such a way to produce nothing less than the Word of God. Now, I just want to quickly prove that. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21 says it was not their own interpretation. It's not what Scripture is. Scripture is not the musings of men, a musing of the mind of man, and then explaining what a man is thinking about. It actually could mean here, it's not the releasing of man. Either way, what is clear, it's not from man. Ultimately, the product that we have, the Scripture, is not from man. And the concern of God here is to say that whatever the prophet said and whatever the prophet spoke was from God. Whatever the apostles taught and wrote, it was God's word, his very word. And then the men are carried along by the Holy Spirit. That's the picture, that's the word used for a boat where the wind comes into the sails and it moves it along. And that's what the Spirit did. But what you need to understand here in our brief time is that it's not, the product is not man's. It is God using men, but it's not less than God. I'm going to put it that way. It's not less than God because he used men, because he used the instrument of men. Or Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God. Or all Scripture is God-breathed, theopneustos. God-breathed, literally. And that lays stress, in fact, there upon the words. We may say the men were inspired, but more importantly, the words of the men are inspired. The words are theopneustos. They are God's very own breathed words, as if God were here breathing them out, see? As if God spoke them. And so the prophet communicated exactly the word and the will of God. He spoke in the name of God. He was the spokesman for God. He was the messenger of God, the mouth, the organ, the instrument for God. He was one through whom God spoke. So when Jeremiah is consecrated, you know what it says in Jeremiah 1:9? Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See? And thus you have those phrases in the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord, when the prophet would speak. You have the word of the Lord. The Spirit came upon him. See, those kind of terminologies, etc. The New Testament, referring to the Old Testament, will say, David, by the Spirit, spoke. The Spirit says, by the mouth of whomever. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says in Hebrews 3:7, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will hear his voice, Acts 28:25, the Holy Spirit spoke rightly through Isaiah the prophet to our fathers. See, it's God speaking through the prophet. It wasn't the prophet's interpretation of God. It wasn't their own releasing. It was from God. It was God's word. And that's the same with the apostles. The Spirit would gift the apostles as like prophets, as uniquely the organs, the mouthpiece of Christ. Apostles were uniquely chosen. They had to be with Christ. They had to be directly taught from Christ and sent apostles, sent ones, apostles sent by Christ. They had to be eyewitnesses of his resurrection. And they had to have signs and wonders confirming it. And they knew, beloved, they knew very clearly that they were speaking the Word of God and writing the Word of God. 1 Thessalonians 2:3, Paul says, "Our exhortation did not come from error, uncleanness, nor was it in deceit, but as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak." 1 Corinthians 14:37, "If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord." 2 Corinthians 12:12, "Truly the signs of an apostle were accomplished among you with all perseverance in signs and wonders and mighty deeds." God confirmed what they spoke. 2 Peter 3:1, "Beloved, I now write that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets," the Old Testament, "and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." This is Christ speaking. The New Testament is Christ speaking. The whole Bible is God speaking. The apostles, what they spoke and taught and wrote, were Christ's commands. And just in closing here, what this means, the inspiration of the Bible is that we have the very Word of God, beloved. It's God's very Word. You know, provided you have a good translation, and you do. You have some very good translations. And it's all His very Word. It's all profitable. And since it's all His Word, you can't pick and choose what you're going to listen to and what you're going to follow. You have to learn it, and you have to learn it all. You have to listen to it, and you have to believe it, and you have to obey it all. And will you remember? Will you remember that as you pick up the Bible this week, that you are approaching the Word of God? And God is speaking infallibly. It's perfect, and it's relevant to whatever situation you're in. It has all the answers of salvation and life and all problems in this life. Answers to sin and death and brokenness, etc. It is God speaking to men. It tells us about the truth about Him. It tells us the truth about us. It tells us the truth about whatever it addresses. Historically, practically, whatever. It is never wrong. Never. And will you be careful then to listen? God is speaking. Christ is speaking. Hebrews 2:3, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him?" It's the apostles. "God also bearing witness by both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit." Eve was told, "Has God said?" Satan continues to say that to men today. Has God said? The answer is, God has said. Listen, believe, and obey. Let's pray. Father, help us. Many of us have been Christians for a long time, and we come to Your Word sometimes with a familiarity and a carelessness, and we pray that You would help us to always remember that this is Your very Word. And also reward Your people as they come. Do not discourage them, but encourage them to hear Your Word then. For You have all the answers to salvation and life. In Jesus' name, amen.